Greetings, and welcome to Beer Soup. We have a grizzly-sized show for you this week, bubbling up in the Beer Soup hot tub, so listen up, bears. In the 75th serving of Beer Soup, we have an interview with Doug Langway, writer and director of the feature-length romantic comedy, Bear City. Shoutouts from Summer Bear Week, and the usual bear-themed hoo-ha. We're locked and loaded, so stand back. You're just in time for Bear Soup. Welcome to Bear Soup. News, skews, interviews, and schmooze for the online Ursine community. I'm your host, Ron Serratia. I am so delighted to bring you my interview with Doug Langway, the writer and director of the movie Bear City, which took place during Bear Week in Provincetown. Doug is a terrific guy and very smart and very excited about the movie, and so I'm really happy to bring you that interview right now. So we're here with Doug Langway, who is the writer and director of the new movie, Bear City. We are here at the showings for Bear City in Provincetown, Massachusetts during Summer Bear Week.
Bear Week 2010. Hello, everybody. Thank you all for listening.
Welcome to Bear Soup.
Oh, man, I'm so excited to be here. I've always been a big fan of yours, obviously, and, you know, through your books in the movie, and we had a lot of fun with them. When I read them, they were a wonderful part of it. But I'm glad to be Bear Week. It is a ridiculously amazing amount of people here and amazing looking people here. Yeah. And just a great vibe and a great environment. So, I mean, the people love it here. I love that the locals just love us. And they're like, hello, bears. Are you having a good Bear Week? And you're
like, yeah, girl, thank you.
but I'm having a great time.
Good, good. How are the crowds so far?
Oh, the screenings have been great. It was really a crazy experience because we were coming from Philly. We premiered in Philly the night before Bear Week started on like the Friday. So we were at all these events on Friday night, and then like 4 in the morning we're driving from basically Philadelphia all the way to P-Town. We had an 11 o'clock screening that night. That was our world premiere. Or not world premiere, sorry, our P-Town premiere, which is a world unto itself. So it's almost like a world premiere.
Wait, it is.
It is almost a world premiere.
It is a unique environment.
It is. It's a magic little land. But so our premiere was 11 o'clock, sold out. It was a wonderful experience. And it's interesting because, you know, every town is different, every theater is different, every kind of acoustics are different. So I always know I want to get there early and kind of make sure the color's right and the sound's right and everything. And so we were like definitely flying by the seat of our pants because that little one lane highway that gets up to P-Town is just like, you know, it's like the way out to the Hamptons and the, you know, Hamptons Jitney. It's just dead stops, and you're like, oh. But we got here. It was amazing. The color looked great. Everything looked great. And
you've never been to P-Town before?
Oh no, I have. Oh yes, I have. I've been to Bear Week for several years in a row. Actually, last year this time I came to Bear Week not with a film, but with postcards saying "be in my film."
Yeah.
Then I was casting for the movie at P-Town Bear Week, and I was like, "Please come be in my movie. Please come be in my movie. Please come be in my movie." So this year it's a lot of fun. I'm passing out "Hey, the movie's out." He's like, "Oh my god, that's awesome!" You know. It's a fun transformation going from that to this, because we, at the time, didn't have a locations manager and didn't know what we were going to do at locations. It was, well, we were all flying by the seat of our pants last year. And we ended up getting a location manager through a man named Fergus and his friend Monty Diamond, who was up here just hanging out. 2 weeks later, he calls and says, "I want to be on your film. You seem so bubbly and happy, and you seem like this is a great thing." And so next thing you know, he locked in the Eagle, he locked in the Dugout, he locked in a lot of the great stuff. So
cool.
I have a special
but
little
you knew
part
that.
Of my heart for P-Town.
But you knew that New York was where the movie was going to be set. And
right. And there's a lot of New York. There's a big New York clan that comes up to P-Town. So it made sense. Yeah. And for this film, which is something that was amazing, is the people drove to be in this movie just to be a background actor or background talent. They drove, yes, like yourself. Well, you're a little bit more in the foreground, but drove from all over the place. Connecticut, Tennessee, yeah. From Florida, people from Atlanta. And people flew in from San Francisco and LA. And I was like, wow, this is awesome. This festival gets a lot of people from all over the world. So I wanted to hand out flyers to get as many real people in the movie as possible. Because my idea for the movie was to keep it as real to my life and as real as possible to the New York City life that I've lived, the bear scene in that, and the bear scene in general.
Yeah. You have to go into something like this, I imagine, knowing that you're throwing yourself in even further into the community probably than you had ever wanted. Perhaps. You must have had some sense of that going into this when you conceived of the movie and started writing it.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you know, obviously I've been a part of the bear community before it was even called the bear community. It was, you know, I've been there for 20-some-odd years. The film takes place where a man's like standing out front of a bear bar, but I was standing out front of, the true story is I was standing out front of like the Chubby Guy bar, because that's really all there was. There was this Girth and Mirth thing where all the bears hung out before they were bears, and a place called Mike's, which anybody from New York, maybe a little shout out for that. New York and over 40, or at least 40, will remember Mike's. But the concept of doing it there was something I lived for 20 years. But I had been writing for a long time, different styles of something in beardom. Every time I experienced something in the bear world, I wrote it down and kind of figured it out. But I never was really ready to tell the story. And I'd written another one about hillside campgrounds and called Woof, really? Another feature called Woof, hillside campgrounds. The stories were fun in a superficial way, but like I had to really live the life to start really getting down into the core of the community and the core of the people of the community. And I had to have enough life experience to do that. And so it took till about now, till about this time, for us to really write a story that was meaningful, that came from the heart, because a friend of mine said, if you're going to put a voice to the disenfranchised, then you better make it a real voice, and it better be a pure voice.
Yeah.
If you're going to speak for everyone.
Absolutely.
So I can't say that I speak for everyone, obviously, but I know after a lot of screenings now that I've touched many, many hearts. And that I put myself and my co-writer Larry put ourselves right out there and was just blatantly honest from like first frame of the movie. You kind of know who I am. People that know me are like, really? You put that out there, Doug? Really? But, and you guys will see it. As the movie goes on, people start to realize this isn't just a silly, you know, comedy, that there's some real issues that are dealt with by people and by people in the bear community that know the story all too well. I've had people come up and tell me that, like, told my life story, and, like, I was elbowing my partner in the screening. So that feels good. You know, the tears coming down. I definitely know that I wasn't blind when I was watching everything go by, and that my heart lived what you saw on the screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it definitely shows. And, you know, my own personal experience was that I felt very touched by it. There really were parts of it that were unique to my relationship with my husband. Issues like monogamy that the couple goes through. I think you really tapped into a nerve there.
Right.
A lot of the issues, I think people can recognize.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously, and that was something I went through with my first partner, and like the concept.
You're single now or partner?
No, I'm partner now, but I was at the time with another partner.
Sorry, guys.
I'm partner to a wonderful man that I love very much.
did you hear that?
Yeah, did you hear that, Jason? My partner Jason Hill are very, very happy to be a part of this movie. He's definitely like, man, really? Like, you took all of our secrets and put them out there. A lot of people watching the movie come together didn't really realize it could have so much impact. All the actors that came on board were just unbelievable. Well, I found that, I found that I had to live a life long enough to see the community for all the different levels that it is, because when you come into it, the main character, Tyler, comes into this world. He knows he likes bears. He has an online bear life. But offline, he's a struggling actor who moved to New York with a friend from the drama department in a Midwest town. And so they're all kind of queenie up there and all sorts of sassy. And that's just not who he is, per se. He's a person who's a professional actor, but is new to this world. And so I had to have the wide-eyed rose-colored glasses of, this is the most amazing thing ever. But then you had to have a character like Brent, who's kind of jaded and kind of over it and, you know, is kind of quirky. Have these friends in my life that I pulled from in order to create the person that may or may not want to have an open relationship, and the characters of Michael and Carlos, where Michael is a very large papa bear that his Latino lover is very much in love with, but he lost his job and he attributed it to his weight, and so he has his body issues to go through.
And he's considering going to get a lap band
surgery, and the partner is not happy with that because he wants him to love himself for who he is and the way that he sees him. So all those are real issues, obviously, that I've had around me.
Our friends, sometimes our partners.
Exactly.
Go through all of these things, sometimes ourselves.
Right, exactly. So I felt like now was the time. Now, I was in the best place of my life to do that, to be able to tell that story. I could see it clearly. I could feel it in my head. And then I met had a writing partner, Larry Ferber, who is just brilliant at pulling in all the other parts of life and the other parts of the community. He lives more in the world of fun, snippy, you know, sassy men of gaydom, which we love. So he was able to pull in a lot of the sass, a lot of the fun mm-hmm. from the ancillary characters that have come involved. Tyler's best friend, Simon, people like that, who tried to bring in the concept that, you know, the Bears are all trying to be very inclusive, but we don't want to exclude while we're being inclusive to other people. Mm-hmm. And so the Simon character allows everyone else in the community to see this movie. And yeah. rather than I make a movie for bears to jerk off in a basement to, I really want everyone to see this movie yeah. so that they can understand bears and they can understand themselves. Because everybody goes through that same thing, an untouchable guy that they want to fall in love with that they can't get. Mm-hmm. You know, that is not, that's not specific to beardom, that's specific to life.
Yeah, an observation about that. I understand how you need to have, you know, non-bears to be able to tell a story that shows some sort of contrast and conflict. But in a certain way, the main characters in the movie are not bears.
The concept of saying who someone is or isn't a bear is also in question big time.
Yeah.
Because the character of Tyler, while he doesn't dress like a bear or look like a bear kind of thing, he's in love with bears. The bears are supposed to be about themselves and their admirers.
Yeah.
So the admirer should be able to be included in the bears as well, even if he doesn't look the role. And people, like in Malcolm Ingram's documentary and a couple other things I've seen, the concept of it being a state of mind is something that is very attractive to me. Years ago, because it's something that makes it all inclusive. Muscle bears, if they want to be muscle bears, can be muscle bears, and there shouldn't be anything wrong with that. You know, big bears should be big bears, there shouldn't be anything wrong with that. Nelly bears can be Nelly bears, there shouldn't be nothing wrong with that. So I try to give an overall view of the community. Now, within that community, you have your little cliques that hate this and love that, and oh my god, drama, 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 because that's any community. It's not sectioned off to the bears. I felt like what I wanted to happen with the non-bear characters or the best friend is to have his transformation, his help in understanding what his friend's going through. And so his character, like many of our characters and myself, when I went back to my friends and said, it's a coming out of the closet twice story. It's like, now I'm going to tell you I'm gay, and then I'm going to tell you, like, big, fat, hairy old dude. For me, big, yeah. fat, hairy old man. It's like, what? And so these people have to accept that again, and you need the rest of the community to accept that to be able to feel complete in that full picture of everybody getting together.
Yeah. Certainly all of the characters go through one level of transformation or another. Even Tyler's friend, Simon.
Yeah.
At the end, when he sees the two of them kissing in the head, because before he was repulsed by
yeah,
that.
Yeah, repulsed by the whole thing. Exactly. So, it's because he saw love. And once you see love, love is blind, and that's the real truth of the matter. So for him, it may not be his cup of tea, because of course I'm not going to try. I don't want to give anything away, but you know, something happens. It's a lot of, you know, something. No, no spoiler alert. Obviously, it's a romantic comedy. They're going to get together, yeah. but.
Well, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
FYI, Bear Soup streams online at bearradio.net, Mondays and Wednesdays, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. The podcast is also available through our free iTunes subscription and download service. Access the Bear Soup archives through the Bear Soup tab on ronserratio.com. So before I bring you back to the interview with Doug, I also wanted to make the point that the movie, Bear City, is told from the point of view of the characters Tyler and Simon. They're the central characters in the film. At least initially, neither of them are bear identified. And I want to tell you that the movie won a number of awards at Outfest in LA, the LGBT film festival. Congratulations to Doug and the screenwriter Larry Ferber and to everyone with the movie for a great job during the week. Rocco and I, we were both very excited to see the movie, him for the first time and me for the second time. We met and talked with some of the cast who came out to help promote the film during Summer Bear Week. A great bunch of guys. Also, I met Henry, the producer. I also got a little bit of a chance to hang out with Malcolm Ingram, the director of the documentary, the bear documentary that also just came out, Bear Nation, and was screening the same week, which we saw for the first time as well, and enjoyed a lot. I also want to thank my friends Jeff Mann and John, who drove up from Virginia to be with us during Summer Bear Week, and we really enjoyed their company. Jeff Mann, author of the Bear books, Edge and Binding the God, read some of his terrific poetry and short stories and essay. We had a lovely turnout. The event was held at the UU Meeting House right on Commercial Street in P-Town. And I also want to thank in particular the Northeast Ursemen who sponsored the event, especially Dave and Matt. And Bear Bones Books and Bear Radio also sponsored the event. And thanks again to the P-Town Bears as well. While I'm doing shout-outs, I'd like to say hi to Kevin, Arctic, Mike, Dennis, Alan Charlesworth and his partner Jim, Steve-O, Steve Harris, whom I asked to put up his songs on BearRadio.net, and he said he'd think about it. And my friend and colleague, Les Wright, who came to Jeff's reading, and there is a photo up on Bear Bones Books of the group of us, including Les Wright. A slightly historic meeting of bear authors, in any case. So let's get back to my interview with Doug Langway. I mean, at least in the initial publicity, it sounded like you were trying to, you know, make it like a bearish Sex and the City.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really an unfavorable comparison, because I thought this movie was much funnier, much sexier, much better structured than Sex and the City.
Well, the reason I say that is because...
You need a handle to be able to describe it in 30 seconds or less?
Well, I mean, that helps. But no. I actually... When I spoke of Sex and the City, when I was writing it, the movies weren't out. So I'm speaking Sex and the City, the series. And I think that the series has got some wonderful moments in it regarding love and life and pain and relationships and breaking up and cheating. So when I say it, I know now, because they put out one good movie and one real clunker. Ooh. Like everybody, Sex and the City. But for me, I meant the series. In my head, I wanted to make a series that was like Sex and the City meets Entourage meets Mad Men. You know, something that has style and grace, but some real emotion, real stories. And Sex and the City has that in not the movies, but the series. And then obviously the emotional comes from the real life experiences that I've had. All these characters are definitely people that I could point to. Some of them know who they are. And some are hearing this broadcast right now going, I know, Doug, I know.
Yeah.
But yeah, they all sort of know who they are. And and there's little cheats on the screen that I make reference to people throughout it that gives it away a little. I wanted the flair of Sex and the City. Someone looking for love. Someone really trying to find out what it is about relationships that works for them. And so that's why it was sort of a Sex and the City for Bears.
Yeah. I can see it.
Yeah.
Tell me, Doug, what was the biggest challenge for you in making the film? Personally, professionally?
I think the biggest challenge was getting over the fear that you were going to fuck it up. And, like, you know, tell a story that just didn't relate to bears or bears would look at and go, like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? You know, so in order to do that, I really had to dig deep inside myself and say, am I willing to tell this story properly? Am I really willing to have the sex scene the way that I like having a sex scene and put that on the screen regardless of what my mom's going to think or am I going to be able to have the main character boning Santa Claus in the first thing and everybody knows that's my fetish? You know what I mean? Like am I going to do that? Am I going to have the guts to do that? So I just put that in frame one, got it out of the way, and then moved on with telling the story. But, you know, I felt like if I don't put a piece of me honestly into this, everybody's going to see it.
Yeah.
And it's just going to come off unauthentic. Well, it's going to come off unauthentic, and it just won't feel real, and it won't touch your heart. That was the biggest challenge. So once I was over the challenge, then I was like, okay, now that I got over mine, now I'm going to tell my friend's story. And then Rob did this, and he did that. And I just started writing down what everybody did. And this is what happened. And so I ended up telling this story about a group of friends over the course of my life, a group of friends and their trials and tribulations with love, life, weight, and body issues. Yeah. Second challenge is always money. You know what I mean? Trying to find money. But that really wasn't a big challenge because there were so many people that wanted to get involved that were in the bear. This film was mostly made by the bears for the bears. A lot of the people that invested in the movie were bears. And everybody invested their time. T-shirts, woof tees, you know, all Killer Bob, all these sponsors that came on board. Bear Wash, Wet. I mean, they all came on board to be a part of something bigger. And, Arno Kazan from IMDb flew out to be a part of it. There's just... I realized it was important when I realized all the people that were showing up on the set. Of course, the set was a big fucking pickup joint by the middle of it. And I couldn't get anybody to do any work because all the extras are getting numbers and running to the bathroom. I'm like, we have to shoot a scene, hookas. Like, get out of the bathroom. Blow him at the end of the thing, not during the evil scene. After. Really, it's not even a lot. And the other challenge...
Well, that wasn't so...
Yeah. Yeah, the other big challenge was, and my friends, I have to love them for it, is shooting in the Eagle with the lights on. Like, you know, knowing what that place looks like in the lights is not a scary thought.
Not pretty.
And, you know, my one friend said, I love you so much. He's the sound engineer with a boom mic. He's like, I'm laying on the floor in the bathroom of the Eagle, Doug. He's like, I'm laying on the floor. And I'm like, I'm sorry, bro. Dude, it's only two more minutes. Trust me. You know, I got Simon on a toilet. I'm like, oh, Lord, what are we doing here?
Yeah, well, those were tricky shots in particular. I was going to mention, you know, scene must have been really tough to shoot.
There were some tight scenes. The scene in the bathroom, I don't want to give away stuff, but those bathroom scenes had to have my camera guy like looking like he's a Tetris cube in the corner trying to shoot. Everybody really put their heart and soul into the film, and you know, I say that this isn't my movie. This is our movie. I was just the vision manager. You know, you guys made the movie. I just managed the vision because at some point it came off the page and it came off the and it just went and made its own movie. And the actors brought all of their love, all of their life, all their passion into it. The sound designer brought his passion, made sure it was perfect, never had it been perfect. The art director she would sleep in our office because she was working all night on the Bear Mall. Like, they would just put their heart and soul in it. These are not people that were there for the 9-to-5, for the $10 an hour or whatever. You know what I mean? They weren't there for the money, because it was none, but they weren't there for the money. They were there for the love. And we had, you know, so many women on the set that just loved it, loved the story, and believed in it. My assistant director was a woman, Tracy Utley, because I knew gay men, when a woman screams, they shut the fuck up and they listen. So she'd be like, "Oh, you bears!" And she'd, oh, all the bears get scared and they go and they move to the corner.
Yes, so
I knew I had a screechy chick, 5 foot big, to wrangle bears.
Bear wrangler.
Got to be 5 foot tall, screechy blonde girl.
But you didn't put a disclaimer at the end saying no bears were harmed in the film.
You know what? You know what? We wanted to. Because, did we tell you this story? Yeah. Actually, the Humane Society called us because they read it in Variety and asked if any bears were going to be harmed in making this movie.
Uh-huh.
And we were like, holy shit, we have to explain them what the bears are. So we were laughing our ass off. So
but
I can.
Wouldn't that be cool, actually, if
you
had gotten their approval?
Well, you know, that was the thing. We tried before the release, and we probably will before the DVD, because you have to get their approval. But we explained to them, we were like, listen, they're not real bears. What bears are, and so when we told them what bears are, they laughed their ass off. The Humane Society thought it was the funniest thing ever, and they all got a big kick out of it. But to use their logo is a process, and we're actually still in the process of getting it. Because if we can get it, it'd be funny as hell.
Sure.
Because they really did try to find out whether we were harming bears on the set. That's... And I said, well, define harm, really.
Well, evacuation of semen does not
count
as harm.
Yeah, no. If they're walking funny for a few days, you know, that's really not displeasurable. But yeah, that was comedy.
We don't want to give too much more away.
Yeah.
But speaking of the DVD, people can contribute to that.
Yeah, well, the concept...
Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, the concept is if you go to www.bearcitythemovie.com.
BearCityTheMovie.com.
And you go to get your name in the credits. You just do for PayPal for like $50, you get your name, or $25 just to get your name in. Yeah. For like $50, you can upload a photo.
Yeah.
And then we call it the contributors and the benefactors section. And people have been seeing it now that it's playing.
Yeah.
It's just a small amount of, just a small donation that allows us to do a lot of things that we couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
And so many bears have come to it and come together that the credits are getting really long. But you get to have your picture up at the end. And what I really want about that, more than the $50, that's why it's $50. I really didn't want a ton of money, or even 25, because I wanted the people that don't necessarily understand bears to really just see a sea of people and a sea of bears and see a community help one thing happen, because, you know, Hollywood is not going to make this movie. You know, they're not going to invest any time or money in making a film about us. So we have to do it ourselves. So even though the credits are up now on the theatrical, once we started doing that, people started still now investing, and you just go on the website and you just click through on PayPal, and
super.
And you end up with your name on a film and or your picture.
Yeah, I do encourage all of our Bear Soup listeners to do that, to check it out. So we have a few minutes left. Tell us where else you're going to be screening and when people can expect the DVD or what else, what else is going on.
Well, the concept is just definitely go on Facebook. I know a lot of people have Facebook. We're Bear City, one word, at Facebook. And that is going to have the, that event tabs is always updated with places. Right now we're going to Los Angeles for Outfest.
Right.
We sold out both our screenings, which is fast, but it's okay because we have a screening that we're doing ourselves at Long Beach, a double feature with Malcolm Ingram's Bear Nation. The both of us are going to be playing in Long Beach on the 22nd. It's a Thursday, July 3rd in July. That will be a lot of fun. So if you missed it in Outfest, you can see it there. We're also playing Bear Camp. We're playing Cub. And then we're playing various film festivals. And the DVD will be out in the fall.
Right.
In November. So,
any more big LGBT festivals coming up?
Well, we did the majors. You know, we wanted to obviously premiere in New York, so we waited to do the New York Film Festival.
Pretty much, they're all in July, though, right?
Well,
June and July.
No, they do. Like the big ones, the majors definitely happen right around here. But there's also another section major in the fall. So we may hit something like a Real Affirmations or something to that effect. But we really wanted to come out swinging in June because that is our Pride Month and that is when it starts. So we did New York and then obviously did San Francisco, the Pink Saturday slot. Amazing. 1,500 bears in the Castro.
Yeah.
Amazing experience. It was moving. I cried, seriously. And it was an amazing experience. And then we did Q-Fest, obviously, because TLA Releasing is releasing our film. So we did Q-Fest for them, and then we're doing Outfest. Those are the four really major ones that we're doing. And then we're going to be doing some other spread ones throughout the country, all the way through November.
Excellent, excellent. Which is when, more or less, we can expect the DVD to come
out. Absolutely.
Okay. In the minute or so that we've got remaining, what's going on with Bear City 2?
Oh, you gave it away, didn't you?
Oh! Edit that part out.
No, it's fine. Well, because enough people saw it in San Francisco. Bear City 2.
Well, there's a trailer at the end of the movie for it. So.
It's true. There's a trailer at the end of the movie. And so, yeah, we'd be Bear City 2 in San Francisco. We are in the process of finishing writing that now. It's very funny. And it's very touching, again, and very moving. And the characters that you know and love will definitely be in attendance.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's all I can say about that, sir.
Well, you'll keep us hungry for more.
Yes, that's good. Hungry for more.
Well, Doug, thank you very much for joining us here on Bear Soup.
I really appreciate
your time. We congratulate you on your terrific work. And best of luck.
Thank you. It's been an honor to be on your show, Ron.
Thanks once again to Doug Langway for a wonderful interview, and we'll be hearing more about Bear City as it continues to gain fame and fortune. Hope you enjoyed the interview. Bear Soup is sponsored by the Bookish Bears at Bare Bones Books. Check out their fine titles by Bear authors at barebonesbooks.com, spelled BEARBONESBOOKS. You've been listening to Bear Soup with Ron Serratia, episode number 75. Check out the Bear Soup page on my homely little home blog, www.ronserratia.com, spelled RONSURESHA. Bubbles for the Bear Soup hot tub are powered by our sponsor, Bare Bones Books. Check out their fine titles by Bear authors. Look for Bear Soup, BearRadio.net, and Bare Bones Books also on Facebook. And please feel free to email me at bearsoup@gmail.com. Thanks, as usual, to the Merman, Joe of BearRadio.net, and as always, my husbear, Rocco. And just remember, sometimes you eat the bear, sometimes the bear eats you.